At this time, we're going to talk about, will we be a faithful church? Will we be a faithful church? Now, with that in mind, I'm going to just go ahead and say this verse. This is going to be our theme verse for today, and then I'm going to ask everybody to turn to Acts chapter 5, then we're going to Acts chapter 6 as well. But here's the verse. If you'll just listen to the verse for a second, it says, faithful is he, 1 Thessalonians 5:24, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Now, I just want to focus in. It says, faithful is he. Now, we're going to go to Acts chapter 5 and Acts chapter 6. But it says, will we be a faithful church? Folks, listen to me. We cannot be faithful unless we trust in one that is faithful. Because we cannot be a faithful church unless our whole heart, everything we have, is fully depending on Jesus Christ. Because he is faithful. And if he is faithful, then in whatever he calls you to do, if you let him do it through you, it'll be a marvelous, marvelous thing. So today is, will we be faithful, church? Now, in that particular one, it says, we'll be a faithful church, we're going to look at change. Because how can we be faithful in times of change? Faithfulness is continuing the course, keeping. God always is faithful because he always keeps the course. He always keeps his promises. But we as people, when change comes, sometimes we respond wrongly to it. And that's what we are going to be dealing with today. I have a couple things I wanted to mention about change. Here it says, when the family returned from Sunday morning service, the father criticized the sermon, the soloist, the organist, and just about everything else. But the subject was quickly dropped when Junior piped up. But it was pretty good for a quarter, don't you think, Dad? Because so many times we begin, changes start happening in our services and all, and we're like, we're upset about this and upset about this. But the boy really pointed out the thing is, you know, the man only gave a quarter. And he says, didn't we get a lot for our money for a quarter? You know, and so many, you know, then here's another one. God tells me, churchman Bill Keeney, creator of the popular Family Circus comic strip, tells of a time when he was penciling in one of his cartoons and his son Jeffy asked, Daddy, how do you know what to draw? Keene answered, God tells me. Then Jeffy innocently responded, then why do you keep erasing parts of it? And you know, the thing is, change, you know? And where does God fit into change? And of course, we know that as human beings, we make mistakes. And when we make mistakes, it's got to be God helping us erase them. Because when God says God forgives, when he forgives, folks, you never see it again. It's far from the east as from the west. I mean, it's erased completely. Folks, listen to me. If it wasn't for him erasing our sins, we'd still be condemned in our sins. And so we need to be reminded. And the last thing I want us to be reminded of, as I was thinking through, is sometimes we get misunderstandings, and sometimes those misunderstandings cause us to deal with things differently. But I thought this was cute, and it was a 6-year-old Lisa and her 4-year-old brother Tim was getting together with their parents in church when Tim started giggling and talking out loud. You're not supposed to talk loud in church. You know, there's like kids like, no, you know, the respectful thing you're supposed to do. Why? Who's going to stop me? Tim asked. Angie pointed to the back of the church and said, see those two men standing by the door? They're hushers. So, you know, sometimes people, kids, do not understand all the logistics that go on in church. And sometimes you know what? People get angry over change. And you know what? Kids sometimes don't understand all the details, but they can sense friction, arguments, things of that nature. And those things are the things that they will remember. So let's turn to, just for a moment, let's start with we're going to start with Acts. We're going to start with Acts chapter 2 just for a moment. Acts 2, verse 41. We're going to quickly cover a in Acts chapter 2, verse 41. It says, then they gladly received the word, were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Well, that excitement of the disciples, Jesus said the Spirit of God would come. His presence, people would hear, people believed in Jesus. They were baptized, and that day there was about 3,000 souls. Wow, the church really grew fast that day, didn't it? And they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all they believed were together and had all things common. And sold their possessions and goods and parted them to men as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house to eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Now, that was a model of the church. A couple of things that are different. They met in homes, folks. They met in synagogues. They met in homes. Things have changed a little bit. But when you have to remember the church always is the people. Don't forget that. The church is the people. Now, I want us now to look at verse 33 of Acts chapter 4, verse 33. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as with possessions of lands have also sold them, and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according to as he had need. And Jose, which is by apostle, was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted, the son of Consolation, the Levite, of the country of Cyprus, having land sold it, brought the money, and laid it at the apostles' feet. So at the beginning, man, things were going great. Things were going great, but with many people coming to Christ, folks, all of a sudden, changes start taking place. And I want us to look at verse 5, because what happened? I mean, things were going smoothly, things were going great, and then we're going to find out there end up being some issues and some problems. Now, in verse 5, I want us just for a moment, look, first thing that happened is change. What do we do with change? Now, sometimes we promise God something based on what we think the expectations are going to be. God, if you sell this piece of property, I'm going to give you everything. Expecting it to be a little bit. But then there is a game changer. All of a sudden, we have these two, a husband and wife. They received a lot more money than they ever thought. And then they started thinking, wait a minute. This is what I was expecting, I was thinking I was going to give. But they opened their mouth and said, the Bible says, let your yea be yea, and your nay nay, lest you fall into condemnation. And so what happens here is, look at verse 4. While it remained, was it not? Okay, here's what happens. Let's just go ahead and read this very quickly. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira's wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being private to it, in other words, she knew, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter asked, Ananias, why has Satan filled thy heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? While it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thy heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And we know the story. He falls away dead. Then after that, he asked the woman. The woman, they already agreed ahead of time. And she agreed that, yeah, this is how much we sold it for. Of course, she was lying too to the Holy Ghost, and she died as well. So that's a different type of change, okay? What I want to talk about is positive changes and negative changes. Here was a negative change, okay? They promised a certain amount of money, but they changed their heart about it, and the negative was that they were killed for it. Folks, do not lie to God. God tells you to do something, you do what God tells you to do. By the way, the Bible says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And God had to help the people realize that we need to be obedient to the Holy Spirit. Now, go to Acts chapter 6. In those days, when this is Acts chapter 6, verse 1. And in those days, when the number of disciples were multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Now, folks, listen to me. Began being a change. And at this part here, at the moment, it began with a good change. Folks, listen to me. Isn't it exciting when people come to know Christ? Isn't it exciting when you see God change a heart? Now, I want to let you know, some people do not like change. In fact, Satan does not like change. He does not like it when you change. Remember, you're the father of the devil, and all of a sudden God speaks to you and you say, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that if I don't let Jesus Christ pay for my sins, I will die in my sins and I will go to hell. And in that moment, through the power of the Holy Spirit, you had a change of heart. You had a change of mind. And you said, I no longer want to serve the devil. I no longer want to go that direction. I want to live for Jesus. I want to believe in Jesus. He is the only way. And what a blessing. What a change. What a transforming change. Now, folks, listen to me. That is the change that I desire for every single person. That change. In fact, many times you get lots of different people in the church, and we're going to talk about that in just a moment. And there ends up being particular problems. In fact, I think I'm going to read that right now. What people need to know about the church, okay? This is called The 10 Dumbest Things Christians Do by Mark Atterbury. Fantastic book. I don't know if any of you have ever read it before, but it's a great book. But I want to read this to you because I think this gives us a good understanding. This is a pastor. He's been through a lot of ministry. And here's what he says. Yesterday, I stopped at a local pharmacy to pick up a prescription because it was something I'd never taken before. I paused a moment to read the computer printout and itemize the drug's potential side effects. Constipation, which I have had and survived, was near the top of the list. But farther down were blurred vision, nausea, dizziness, tremors, and even eternal bleeding. You really got to hand it to those drug companies. They sure know how to comfort and encourage the sick, don't they? On the other hand, it's good to know when there are hidden dangers. It's good to go into every situation with eyes open, whether you're starting a new medication or starting to church. In fact, I've often wondered if churches ought to take a cue from drug companies and provide a computer printout listing the dangers new church attendees should be on the lookout for. At the very least, I believe there are two warnings every person who's thinking about starting a church ought to be given. First warning, you will encounter some difficult and unpleasant people. Now, folks, listen to me. It says, I frequently say that I've met some of the greatest people in the world in church. What I really say, but what is just as true, is that I've also met some of the weirdest, most irritating people in church. And the reason why people come in the church, we, as a pastor, there's this anticipation that God is going to change them. And when God changes them, it is miraculous, it is wonderful. That's what happened in Acts chapter 2. But then we have, like, Acts chapter 5, we have somebody who didn't listen to change. God wanted them to change, and they listened to Satan. And so there's going to be people in the church that are going to be doing wrong things. And in that particular, you have to make a choice. Are you going to look at those people, or are you going to look to Christ? Now, I want just for a moment, how many here know the story of Jesus healing the blind man? Everybody know that story of Jesus healing the blind man? Okay. And then what happens? The man is healed. What they do, they bring him before the council, and they said, okay, tell me what happened. And what he says, he said, folks, I don't know. Some said it's, they talked about whether it was man's sin, that he was blind from the beginning, and there's all the different controversy over what was going on. And all the man says, all I know is this. I was blind, but now I can see. And all I know is that Jesus changed me. Now, folks, listen to me. The Bible says that we're in darkness, that we are a follower of Satan, but when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, all of a sudden, we are changed. We are changed from darkness to light, from wickedness to righteousness. What a change. And so every single time that someone comes through those doors, we are anticipating, as a pastor, you're anticipating, as a teacher, when you're teaching, you're anticipating God is going to change someone's life. That's the excitement. But the truth is, Satan also is working, and he doesn't want you to change. He wants you to stay with the old way of living. And folks, listen to me. You can't serve two masters. Either you serve Satan or you serve God. There has to be a change, but it has to be the right change. And so when it comes to church, you come in and you're expecting to change it. But folks, listen to me. When you come to church, you're going to find people who are doing wrong. Because unless God changes them, they're going to do wrong. And unless God changes them, they're going to look for their acceptance in other things. It could be my acceptance in the church is that people look up to me and I feel good about myself. But that's the wrong. That's not what shouldn't be about that. It shouldn't be about what people think about me. The change should be is what people think about Jesus. And we need to understand that. But what's going to happen is you're going to find some difficult and unpleasant people because their motivation behind what they do isn't to glorify Jesus. It's for other reasons. Now, with that in mind, I want to say a couple other things I wanted to read. I've had many experiences over the years that were just as odd and irritating as this one. You mentioned about a man coming in saying, "Can I just stay in the church for one day?" And the next thing you know, he wants to stay there for months on end. And he would want to help out, but the guy didn't want to change. All he wanted to do was he just wanted to use the church, but he didn't want to change. He didn't want God to change his life. It's very irritating. We don't turn people away just because they're rude, obnoxious, selfish, or like Buddha in their underwear. In fact, God's power has been known to completely transform such people. So there's even an element of anticipation when a difficult person comes into the family. I've often looked heavenward and said with a smirk, "I can't wait to see what you're going to do with this one, Father." And that the idea is, you come up with a lot of different people, but the idea is, I hope that the reason why you come to church is not to mark it off your list like I did one more thing for God, but I hope it's that you change to his image. That God looks at, speaks to you through the word of God, and he says, "You know what? I need to change this about me." But you know what happens lots of times? I've done it too. "Lord, change that about Dina. Or change that about my wife. Or change that about my son. Or change that about my daughter." Folks, listen to me. The first thing we need to do is we need to worry about changing, letting Jesus Christ change us. But when most of the time we're pointing fingers, everybody else, "Ooh, that person, ooh, that sermon's just for that person. Ooh, that, oh man, that's, give it to them." I mean, that's the kind of what we're thinking, you know? Then, warning two. The church you join is not always going to be like it is today. Folks, listen to me. If you join this church, it's going to change. And so many times, and I love what it says here. When it says, "When I talk to couples, I always remind them that in your marriage, things are going to change." He says, "You know what? The woman, the man that you married, and how beautiful they are, there's going to be some changes that's going to take place in the future. They may be heavier. They may be crippled later on. They may have, there might be all kinds of changes that go on. They may snore. May all those different things." And like, "That's not the person I married." And folks, listen to me. Because of being human beings, things change. But with that change, we need to find faithfulness. We need to have the love of Christ helping us through those changes. You know why marriages don't end up staying together? Because when there's change, people don't like it and say, oh, I'm out of here. Do you know why people don't stay in the same church today? It's because when there's change, I'm out of here. We are in a society that if I don't like something, I'm out of here. But that's not how marriage is supposed to be. It's the love of Christ helps us deal with problems. There's going to be changes. So a change is inevitable. I want to read this part. It says, but nothing to be afraid of. I tell every young couple I counsel that if they continue to grow in the Lord and focus on the deeper issues of the soul, the loss of little hair or the addition of a few pounds will seem insignificant. And then one day it hit me. I needed to be having the very same talk with the people who are planning to enter into the relationship with our church. They too are generally in love with what they see right in front of them and seldom stop to think that the church will probably look and feel very different in a few short years. A person generally loves the pastor of the church he joins, and I appreciate each one of you saying how much that you love me and care for me, and I care and I love you too. But what happens if the pastor leaves and is replaced by someone with a completely different personality or philosophy of ministry? Folks, listen to me. I've really grown to enjoy Bert Baker. I don't know him perfectly well, but I know he loves the Word of God and he loves to preach the Word of God. That is why I chose and voted for him. But you know what? He's going to have a different personality. He's going to do different things differently. In fact, last week, the songs will be, and even the invitation, different things will be different. Folks, there's changes. Changes happen. A person generally loves the music of the church he joins, but what happens when his favorite song is replaced with songs he's never heard before and doesn't like? Now, with this in mind, Dina mentioned to me, she showed me this morning about sheet of point. It's called Steel Vengeance. It's a brand new roller coaster. How many of us have seen the clips of the brand new roller coaster? Then there's excitement. Folks, listen to me. We all should go to Cedar Point and boycott and say, I don't want change. All I care about is I want the blue streak and I want to keep a blue streak. Gemini. Or Gemini, okay? Or Gemini for a lot of you, Gemini. Folks, listen to me. You know what? There's nothing wrong with change. Change can be a good thing. We can still be thankful for what happened in the past. We can think, and I think of blue streak, I'll think of, or Gemini can think of Pastor Rose. Man, that was good times back then. But you know what? I can rejoice because of the new roller coasters out there, and I can still have a good time on the new roller coasters. So change is not all bad. Don't forget that. Sometimes there's change, and you think, oh, I don't want change. And we're stuck up, and all we have is a blue streak. And folks, listen to me. If Cedar Point would have stayed with blue streak, Cedar Point wouldn't exist anymore today. But it has to be the right type of change, and it has to be good change. And it has to be according to laws. There's laws of science and mathematics they have to obey. And God's word is what we have to obey. We have to obey the word of God. And if anything happens when we change the word of God, then it's the wrong type of change. But there can be change. A person generally loves the location of a church he joins, but what happens when the congregation decides to buy a property 10 miles farther away from this home? A person generally loves the fellowship of the church he joins, but what happens when when arguments arise and fights break out? I could go on, but you get the picture. And so, as we look at Acts chapter 6, we find out there's some changes happen here. And the change is the widows are not, their needs are not being met. And the reason for it is because there was a lot of changes going on, folks. The church was growing. And folks, when the church was growing, sometimes we have this mentality, the pastor has to do everything. And folks, we need to change that mindset. In fact, it says that we're supposed to be a body of Christ. We need to be working together as a full body of Christ, not just a finger or the thumb doing everything. And so here in Acts chapter 6, there's a murmuring and a disputing. But I want to show you, it's very important, because look at verses 3, 4, and 5. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you. So they have this discussion. Then 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, Is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables? So, here, There needs to be, something needs to be done. Folks, listen to me. Nehemiah, we've been preaching about Nehemiah. And you know what about Nehemiah? He was concerned about his people and said he prayed for 4 months. And he says, God, can something be done about this? But he was a man of God, full of faith, believing God's word, and God ended up using him to make a difference in what he was wanting to do. Now, it's okay to bring up a problem, but it needs to be brought in the right way. It needs to be brought to leadership. Not be talking about, and I've been hearing all kinds of, I've been hearing a few things going on about people not liking this and this, not liking this and this and this and all this type of stuff. And folks, listen to me. It's wrong if we don't do it the right way. It's okay. Change. It happens. It's okay. It's okay. But we need to go through the right avenues. And you know what? They did the right thing here in Acts, because they went to the apostles and said, we've got a problem here. And he says, you know, and the apostle said, I can't do everything. I mean, there's 6,000, 7,000, 8,000 people, and I'm going around serving all these tables and helping the widow. I'm not going to have time to preach the word of God. And I'm not asking Robbie, you know what happens is, we've got 7 minutes been over there helping with the renovating the church, and I want to thank all of you men that's been helping. I mean, what a blessing. And we've got some of you helping in the kitchen. We've got people helping cleaning church. We've got all these different, and there's all kinds of great things happening. But you know what? I haven't called Robbie about helping over renovating the church, because I want him, when he preaches and teaches God's word on Wednesday night, I want it to be powerful and impacting. And if I got him running around doing everything, then it's not going to work out. And folks, listen to me. Sometimes I feel I'm right at the edge, personally, as a pastor, because I've been trying to help out in different areas, and I feel like I'm almost spent. And I'm supposed to have a full cup of coffee and let it just fall over with the Spirit of God, and I feel like I've got about this much left, because I keep giving and giving and giving, and I'm not letting the Holy Spirit keep in falling into my life. And it shouldn't be that way, folks. And the apostle said, hey, this is too much. If I keep giving, 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 I'm not going to be filled with the Spirit, so I can give what's the most important thing, and that's God's word. And so I'm asking you, even though I've done a lot, God's told me, Nehemiah, to help with renovating the church, and God told me that, but don't expect Pastor Burke to be doing all that. He needs to be focusing on God's word. And as long as he's preaching and teaching God's word, you should be thankful. Now, but there needs to be, something needs to be done, taken care of. There's a problem. And look what it says. It says, we will give ourselves continually by prayer and the ministry of the word. Okay, look at verse 3 first. Wherefore, brethren, look now out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. So what do we need to look for? We need to look for people full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. Now listen to me. You're not going to get all that just being in church services on Sunday morning. These people right here, they weren't full of the Holy Spirit and full of wisdom just because they came to church on Sunday morning. It has to be, the life has to be Jesus. When Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, it needs to be, I'm following Jesus every day of the week, every moment. I want to know what God wants. I want to know what Jesus wants. And he's given us his word to help us through it. And if all you're doing is coming to church on Sunday morning and you're not reading God's word and praying and doing those things daily, you're not going to be one God's going to pick. These men said, I love Jesus, and they just wanted to be in his presence. And people noticed that they were with Jesus. Can people notice that you're with Jesus? If I picked you out and said, and I asked everybody in this congregation, can you say that person just loved Jesus with all his heart? That's what happened with these. They looked around and said, that man right there, I know he loves Jesus. That man right there, I know he loves Jesus. They looked at Stephen and said, that guy is something special. I mean, he just let Jesus run all through his life. Everything he does. Full of the Holy Spirit. Verse 5. And the saying pleased the whole congregation, the whole multitude. The church said, yes, okay, the apostles can't take care of this, but we've got a solution. We're going to pick out other godly men, the body of Christ, get more people involved in the body of Christ. Not just the finger doing everything, but everybody be involved. But it has to be people full of faith in the power of the Holy Spirit. And the same pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, and the proselyte of Antioch. By the way, I slaughtered some of you guys' names too, so I'm slaughtering them too. It's okay. If you slaughter a person's name, it's okay. But what's most important is that you're filled with the Holy Spirit, all right? We're going to have a hard time sometimes with each other's names. We're going to forget each other's names. But what's most important is that as a church congregation, that we're full of the power of the Holy Spirit and full of faith. That's the key. And you know what? If I forget your name, I think it's William. William, is it? That's your name. I like earlier say, I think I can't remember his name. I hope it's William or not. I couldn't remember. So, I was like, I couldn't remember. I was like, is it William or not? You get nervous to say someone's name wrong. But I appreciate William. And I appreciate his heart. And I'm glad he's here today. And Caleb, I spelled his name totally wrong. I thought it was with the C, it's with the K. And so what I'm saying is, folks, listen to me. The name is not important. What's important is that you know Jesus Christ. The only name that's really important is Jesus. And that you follow him. By the way, if you're not following Jesus all the way, then you're not in the truth. That's what happened with Ananias and Sapphira. They weren't following the truth. They weren't totally 100% all for Jesus. And they lost their way because they totally weren't involved in Jesus. And you won't have true life. You will not enjoy life. Listen to me. Some of you are exhausted. It's probably because you're listening to people instead of listening to Jesus. And you can't have true life unless you're listening to Jesus 100% of the time. You're letting people rob your joy because you're listening to somebody else instead of to Jesus. Now, and so they were able to take care of the problem. And look at verse 9. They were disputing with Stephen. Verse 10, and they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Because you know why? He was full of everything that God wanted him to do. Then it said this, verse 12, and they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council and set up what? False witnesses, which said, this man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against the holy place and the law. For we have heard him that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall, what does it say? Change what? The customs which Moses delivered us. Folks, listen to me. If you're here and you're irate because we're changing something in the church and it's because it's something to do with customs, friends, listen to me. It's okay if the pastor doesn't wear a tie all the time. It's okay. That's not what's going to change people's lives is a tie. Because if that's the case, I can point out 100 pastors that wore ties and they were living in sin, they were adulterous, they were doing horrible things. There's pastors that I know of that were molesting children and all that stuff. And they were so it doesn't matter what you're dressed like. Now, I want to encourage you to dress your best. That's always been my fun. Come in dressed like the best that you know. But if your best is a t-shirt, come in a t-shirt. Because what's most important is that your heart is right with Jesus Christ. That's what matters. And so the people here said, I don't like this change. And they said, and then they started saying, Stephen is wrong because he's trying to change things around here. Folks, Stephen was full of the Holy Ghost and the power of God. And the people didn't want change when it needed to be changed. So folks, listen to me. It's okay if sometimes we don't have a Sunday night service. It's okay, as long as that change is to motivate us to live for Christ. The reason why I mentioned about changing, I'm the one that I thought it was a good idea. Once a month, having a Sunday where you're taking time as a family, as a leader of the home, to be full of faith and spending time with your own kids. Because if you lose your kids, what good is a church anyways? And today, the world is so busy that your kids feel lost in the shuffle. You need to spend time with your kids. If you love everybody else and your kids don't feel loved, you missed it. That's why I wanted to have. And the other one, we're trying to reach out to Spanish people because the Bible says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And so we're trying to reach out to a different group of people. And so we got one Sunday that we're not having a regular service. We're having a Spanish service. Why? Try to reach out to them. It's okay for change. As long as that change is motivating our families to live for Jesus. As long as that motivation is to be filled with the power and faith of Jesus Christ. And so there's much to be said about that. Question is, I don't really have time because we have to end it. But in James chapter 2, 3 and 4, please read James chapter 2, 3 and 4. It talks about the mouth, how horrible it is. There's all kinds of changes that are happening in James chapter 2 and chapter 3, chapter 4. And the people in that, as James was writing to the 12 tribes of Israel, they weren't handling the change well, folks. They were backbiting and talking horrible about each other. And he says, how horrible is this mouth? Because they didn't like change. In fact, even here in Stephen, they used their mouth to try to motivate, to persuade the people to do something different than what God was trying to do. Folks, if you're here and trying to motivate people, saying, what I'm saying is, if I'm trying to motivate people, I want to be the pastor, so I'm trying to motivate people to me to be a pastor, then I don't need to be your pastor. Because the motivation should be to promote Jesus Christ. By the way, Ms. Street, I thought you did an awesome job playing the piano today. And if Dina says, well, she did a great job today, so, that means the people aren't going to think I'm very good anymore. But folks, that thought shouldn't come in our minds. But it does all the time, doesn't it? And we start thinking, and they start picking sides. That person's better than this person. That person's better than this and this person. Shame on us. It should be one thing and only one thing only, Jesus. 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 That should be it and only that. And so 1 Thessalonians 5:24. Will we be a faithful church? Don't forget 1 Thessalonians chapter 5:24. Faithful is he. That's what it's all about. He was faithful in us to forgive us for our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He was faithful. He is faithful to keep his promises. He does not lie. Put your faith not in a church organization. Put your faith in Jesus, in his word. Faithful is he that calleth you. And when he calls you, just like he called Stephen and he called those seven men, they're going to do a great job. But you know what's interesting? Even if God's called you to be serving tables, he may end up calling you to do something else. Because you know why? Stephen was called to serve tables, but what did he end up doing? Preaching the gospel in front of the whole council. So when you're faithful with little things, God gives you what? More things. But we need to be faithful with little things God's called us to do. We have to do that first. But it doesn't happen unless we're all over Jesus. Jesus is every part of our life. Morning, night, afternoon, meditating God's word day and night. That has to happen. So, Jesus is in charge. The question is, when there's changes, did Jesus make the change? Now, if Bert Baker is the leader and he wants change, then that's okay because it follows within leadership. That's okay. But we need to be praying for our leaders. We need to be praying for our president. We need to be praying for our pastors that the changes they make are changes made through the Holy Spirit. Very important. Another thing I have written down here is, who is being promoted? If that change is promoting a person, it's not the right type of change, unless it's Jesus Christ. And what is being promoted? Why is it being promoted? Is it his power, his word, his way? When it comes to change, that are the questions that we need to be asking. So with that in mind, some changes are good and necessary. Changing a baby's diaper. Don't you think that's necessary? Oh, no! We're going to let her stick with that. No, that's horrible. No. Changing oil in the car. Is that necessary? It's silly. I don't want change. Changing an air filter, changing a water filter, renovations, changing old, changing windows rotted out. Is that good change or not a good change? change the carpet, change the things that are broken down. But change also can bring stress. And we need to understand that when changes happen, when it brings stress, we need to ask the Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us. Because either, and if you look at James chapter 2, 3, and 4, if we respond wrong to change, it can destroy a family, it can destroy a church, it can destroy an individual. But if we look to the author and finisher of faith, Jesus, the changes will be good. And some changes need to be. I used the illustration of Cedar Point. Some changes are good. They're good. But they need to be according to His word, His power, and His strength. Let's pray. Father, I ask you as we have opened your word today, Lord, we know that there'll be problems that arise up, and when those rise up, there'll have to be some changes. But God, I ask you to help us to know what's most important is that we as an individual, that we are full of faith and full of your power, that you're the one guiding us every moment, every second, every day. And Lord, for some of us, we have not been reading God's word all this week, and we're depleted. Some of us have not been praying. We are upset about changes. We've been talking about changes. We have not been praying about changes. We're not full of faith, because faith is trusting that you are going to take care of the problem. Forgive us, Lord. Ask us today to forgive us for responding wrong to change. And may we look to you for every moment, every second of every decision and every change that has to be made. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. And we have one verse of invitation as the invitation is being presented. If God's speaking to you about something that needs to be changed in your life, or maybe you're handling change wrong, the altar is here for you to speak to Him about it.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
Folks, just let you know, we have to deal with change as much as when we go back to Spain. I mean, right now, Spain is going through change. They're trying to figure out how to keep their country safe. Those people from Morocco, they only live about 2 hours from us. They all come through Malaga. Then for us, when we get there, we have to find a new house. So, and how we respond to that change. So we have to go through changes. But the key is to let Him be leading us through every change. Let Him be the one guiding the change. And if He's the one guiding the change, it'll be good. It'll be fantastic. Because everything God does is good. Amen? But when we get in the way, then it's bad change. It's the wrong change. So let's make sure that we continue praying for this church here. Please remember to pray for us as we go to Spain. We leave Tuesday. We ask that you pray for that. Also, one of the good changes is Jonathan Pennington has been putting all of our... did you happen to record it today? Very good. Brett's on the ball. I forgot to ask him, but he did a great job. Recorded today's message. So all the messages and Bible studies on Wednesday nights, folks, that is a good change. Someone can't. I had six people write me today and said they couldn't be here this morning. They were sorry they couldn't be here this morning. But the good news now is, because of the changes, that they can listen to Wednesday night. If they can't be here Wednesday night, they can listen to the Bible study. So if you're not getting Wednesday night Bible studies and you can't make it because of work, we got good change. You can still listen to it. You can get on the internet and be able to click on it and take care of it. I don't remember the exact, but Becky, if you can remember, make sure that's put in the bulletin for next week. That is it in the bulletin now? Okay, I didn't look. I didn't see. So see, good change. Becky made a good change. See, so those are the positive things that we need to be reminded of. Okay, we love you, folks. May God encourage you and build you up in the faith. Looking forward to hearing good things. I know Paul, when he was visiting all those different churches, his anticipation was seeing God doing what Jesus, I mean, that the people were doing what Jesus wanted them to do. That was, he was so excited when he got a good report from one of the churches. Man, they're doing great. And when they heard negativism, it was discouraging, but the Holy Spirit worked through that as well. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you, Lord, that you saw fit to change our state. We were lost, sinners going to hell, but you made a way to change that by sending yourself. Father, thank you for the plan. Jesus, thank you for carrying it out. Holy Spirit, thank you for speaking to us about understanding that plan. If there's someone here today that does not know that plan, that does not know how to get to heaven, but like to know, Lord, speak to them today that they will not leave these doors without talking to somebody, so we can open up God's word and show them how they can be changed, and that you can give them eternal life. For the rest of us that are here, Lord, the changes that are being made in the church services, may we not fight against them unless it's heresy, unless it's against God's word. But Lord, help us to remember that change can be a blessing, and help us to be able to meet different needs, the younger generation as well as the older generation. So we ask you that you move and you change us to be in the image of your Son. In Jesus' name we ask all these things. Amen.